Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Hope to sweep the sun with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to our Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast for this Saturday, December 13th, Sunday, December 14th. I'm certainly glad to have you listening as we're closing in now on the Christmas season. And I certainly hope that you'll be mindful of that, you know, and be praying. And some of you will get together with family members over the holidays, and maybe you can be a witness, and maybe you can be a blessing to somebody. Amen. And we're looking forward then to getting the new year started out for the glory of God. Well, on our broadcast today, we're going to continue message number 30 in the life of David. And we're talking about David behaved himself wisely. And this is where that Saul had the evil spirit from the Lord. And yet David acted like a Christian. And David, in his young days, had some wisdom about him. And praise the Lord that he did. We need that in this day and hour, don't we? Amen. Well, I'd love to hear from you. I know that this is a busy time of the year. I understand that. But I'd love to have a card or letter from you. And just let me know where you're listening to me from. It always cheers me up. And you could send that card or letter to Gospel Broadcasting or the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Also, you could email us comments@gbiradio.org. That's comments@gbiradio.org. I'd love to hear from you this week, and I hope you'll take time to download the GBI Radio app. And you'll get access to our Christian radio stations that we own and operate. Also, you'll get access to our PTG Radio, which is our all-preaching internet station. Boy, a lot of people are listening to that. And I tell you, it's such a blessing. Amen. You get to hear men like Percy Ray and men like Vance Havner and Jack Hiles, Tom Malone, Curtis Hudson. And then you'll get to hear preachers of today like Dr. Melvin Aiken and Brother Scott Caudle and Brother Brent Logan and different ones of today. Amen. Preaching the word of the Lord today, Brother Tommy Wentzel and others. And I praise the Lord for it. Amen. It's a good station, and we're glad we got that thing back on the air. Amen. Put that thing back on the air in 2022, April. Brother Seth Sizeloff over at Little Elkin Baptist Church in Rhonda, North Carolina, he preached the dedication sermon for that. And we put her back on the air in, I believe it was April the 11th of 2022. And I praise the Lord for being able to do that. Well, I hope you'll pray for us during these days. And just pray the Lord's will be done with us. And God is doing some good things. I'm hoping next year we can do even more in the radio. And I hope you will pray for us. All right, let's go to our message after prayer today. Father, will you bless the broadcast? Use it for your glory. Bless every man of God that will stand today. In Jesus' name, amen. We go to our message now. This is message number 30 in the life of David. David behaved himself wisely. Guns, are you going to have to get serious with God? Amen. You go out to the youth group and you say, boy, I'm serious. I'm in there for God, but all you study is some sporting event. Well, you're never going to get with God being all that sports. You know, if you'd rather get to the football league than you would to serve the Lord. One of my preacher friends, he said, my football career ended when I got knocked down. And he said, I surrendered to the Lord to preach while I was laying on the football field hurt. Let me just tell you this, hey man, if God's on your trail about doing something for God, listen, we do not teach in our churches anymore. We don't teach service for God. You know what we teach in our churches? Career and retirement. That's what we teach. Have a big career, have a big, I want my kid to have it better than I did. That's what I want. I want my kid to have it better than I did. Have a big job, make big money. Why? Let me say this to you. You're going to die. The same worm's going to eat your grandpa. Now, again, hold a mute a bit. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with a man having a good job. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with a man having a good career. I thank God for men and women that have good careers that listen to the Gospel Pulpit and support us financially. There are some people that absolutely put some money behind this ministry. And I appreciate you. I thank God for you. I honor you. But there are people that God wants to use. Amen. There's some young people. God would love to use you, just like he did David. But you better behave yourself wisely. Instead of getting out here and smoking and drinking and fighting and committing fornication and all this mess. Now, you can get into all that mess. The ecclesiastical writer Solomon said, "You can get in all that, but know this." He said, "You're going to stand before God for it." Amen. I mean, you can sow your wild oats, buddy, but I'll tell you one thing: you'll reap them one day too. And what you sow in your youth, now you know. I think sometimes young people pride themselves on the fact of getting out of the will of God in their youth and then coming back to God. Let me say this to you: it would be better for you if you never got out of the will of God. It'd be better for you if you got saved at 11 years old and never got out of the will of God. Now, I know some of you did. I understand that. But you got to admit to me, it's a shame that you got out of the will of God. You shouldn't have done that. You should never have done that. And you should encourage young people to never get out of the will of God. I got saved when I was 11. I didn't get out with the drinking crowd and the smoking crowd and the cussing crowd. Why? Because I was saved. I tried to let God give us some young people that will live for God in high school. God give us some that will live for God in the Christian school. God give us some young people that will live for God down on their job. Amen. Get you a job and go to work at 18-year-old. Amen. And do something with your life. Amen. Do something with your life. And so I say to you today, now, David, my friend, behaved himself wisely. Now, David was a very young man. He wasn't an old man. He was a very young man. Matthew chapter number 10, Jesus sent his disciples out. And he said in verse number 16 of chapter 10, he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." He said, "I'm sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves." Young people, you are entering a world of wolves. Older people, we are fighting a battle of spirituality. You young people, I'm going to say something to you. If you live right today, you walk right, you dress right, you act right, you have the right conduct, you will not be the most popular person on the street. And that's what gets a lot of young people. They want popularity. You young girls want popularity. I'd rather live for God than to have popularity. When I was in school, I'm nothing. And I want you to understand that Brother Ricky Cawthorn is nothing. I want you to understand that. I mean, I am nothing. When I was in school, one of the boys called me a preacher. I wasn't a preacher then. But I tried to live my life so that men could see Jesus in me. Amen. And I want you to understand something. When God saved me, He got me. Amen. And I believe this today. When you get saved by the grace of God, you ought to let God work in your life. Amen. David behaved himself wisely. Amen. He conducted his life in a wise manner. I tell you right now, if this was preached more, we'd save more young people. Young man goes out, he gets married at 19-year-old. Why? Because he wants to get out of the mess he's got at home. Well, he marries a girl that ain't really with him, and boy, he gets in more mess. He's divorced by the time he's 20. Well, that limits his preaching. That limits him being on the deacon board. And by the way, that still limits him from preaching and being on the deacon board. Amen. According to this Bible. Amen. And so, then he's in a mess, and his whole life just messed up. Now listen, you young people can avoid that. If you'll wait on God, and I don't know how long God will make you wait, God will give you the right person in life. You young ladies, if you'll wait on God, don't settle for some hippie boy that won't work. He wouldn't. Listen, behave yourself wisely. Let me tell you, Dwight Moody said this. He said, "God gives a man one arrow. You better shoot straight the first time." You see, there are things you will never get. In other words, there are opportunities come along in your life that you're only going to get once. All right? Marriage is one. Now, I may be talking to somebody, you're divorced and remarried. All right? Make the best of it. All right? Marriage is honorable and all, but there are certain things you'll never be able to do, okay? And you'll carry that with you the rest of your life. It's a mistake you made. It's a sin that was committed, and you got in a hurry. All right? But listen, for those of you who did not get in a hurry and you live your life, you'll be able to do some things. Behave yourself wisely. Now, I don't know why I'm preaching along these lines, but God said preach along these lines, so I'm just trying to help you. Now, Brother Ricky loves you. I love the young people of America, and I'd love to see a revival among our young people. I'd love to see those who go to church that say they love the Lord, that say they love the Lord. There's more to serving God than singing in the youth choir. I want you to know that. There's more to serving God than showing up at every youth event. All right? I want you to know that. Where's your heart, young people? Where's your heart? Young ladies wait all your life, and you're going to marry a nice, fine young man. But you know what? Some little old hippie boy, it won't work. He'll come along, and boy, he'll get talking to you, And all of a sudden, there you go. You forget your morals. You forget your standards. You forget what you've been taught. Well, Mama, he's all right. Let me tell you something. If you got a good, godly mom and daddy, and they're against who that you're wanting to marry, you better think twice about that, young lady. Amen. Young man, if you got a good mom and daddy, if you got a good one, you better think twice about getting married if they're against it. I've told you this, and my wife knows the story. She don't get mad at me telling this. I tell it to help people. As a little girl, there wasn't nothing wrong with that girl that I was talking to. I mean, she's been a Christian for many years, but that just wasn't the girl for me. And so when I'd call the girl, her phone would be busy. And you know what? I began to notice one day my mama was going down the hallway of the trailer home. And I just kind of put two and two together. I said to mama one day, I started to call the girl. Girl's busy. Mama going down the hall. I said, Mama. She said, what? I said, are you? And that's all I got out. And mama said, yes, I am, son. She said, that girl's not right for you. So what would happen is when I'd call that girl, mama would go in there and go to praying. Now, let me tell you something. I've got the best wife sitting right over here somewhere in one of these rooms right now working, amen, while I'm preaching. She's in another office doing something. And I'm going to tell you, I got the best wife in the world. Now, had I have not waited, my ministry would not be where it is today. My life is a storybook. My life is it's been filled with some heartaches and trouble, but I'll tell you this, I've had some pleasure and I've had some success in life. God's been good to me. If God's been good to nobody else, he's been good to me. But I want to behave myself wisely. There's many decisions I could have made differently and messed my life up, but I didn't. Now, I want to take these for just a minute. He said, be wise as serpents. Well, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The serpent was a wise a thing in the Bible, all right, and in the beginning at the Garden of Eden. And that's why the devil used the serpent. The devil, by the way, the devil uses worldly wisdom. Did you know that? That's what's wrecking our churches today, all this worldly philosophy. We got so much philosophy in ministry. You need to throw that philosophy away and get in the Bible. Well, I believe this, and I believe if we just did this, and I believe we just, why don't we just preach the Word of God? Why don't we just, you say, preacher, that's just so archaic. That's just so old-fashioned. No, sir. It just rubs against your fur. That's what it is. You want the fun and the entertainment. Give me Jesus. Give me the power of the Holy Ghost. Give me what God would do. But we're to be wise, amen? Even as Christians, I'm getting off my message about David here, but we're to be wise in salvation. I believe David knew the Lord. I believe David was already wise in salvation, don't you? David knew God at a young age. Let me tell you, young people, the best decision you'll ever make is get saved. I got under conviction at 10 years old. You say, well, preacher, how old do you have to be when you be saved? Well, it depends on you. It depends on when you understand you're a sinner and you understand God died for you. Amen. Timothy was saved at a young age. Don't criticize us that we're saved at a young age. I want to thank God that I saved at a young age. I thank God that I was. Amen. I was working radio at 20 years old. I preached first message on radio at 19. I thank God for my life. Amen. Now let me tell you, I could have done a lot of things different. But I tell you what, we ought to be wise in the thing of salvation. If you're not saved, you're not wise. If you say, preacher, I'll get saved one of these days, I'm going to live it up, you're not wise. I had some friends of mine that I used to go to church with, and they told me a story about how they witnessed this 16-year-old boy. Many years ago, this has been 50 years ago, they witnessed this 16-year-old boy. They tried their best to get him saved. And some of those boys that ran around with him and all that, they got saved. But that boy never got saved. And one night, that boy got killed in a car wreck about 50 years ago. Now, let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something. You're not smart. You teenager, you go down the road, and this may be the last day of your life. You know that? Listen, just because you're a teenager, just because you're the most popular boy in high school, just because you're the quarterback, you could get killed today. Amen. Automobile accident, take you out of here. You go to the doctor tomorrow and have cancer. Young lady, just because you're the cheerleader and the homecoming queen and all that, and you're the most popular girl in school, you could die today. You could. The question is, will you die with Jesus or without Jesus? Amen. You die without Jesus, you go to hell. You die with him, you go to heaven. You say, well, how do I get him? Amen. You ask him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe David was wise in salvation. And then I'll tell you another thing. According to Psalm 19, and we already covered it, David was wise. David behaved himself wisely. David was wise in the Scriptures. As a young age, I began studying the Bible. Now, I don't care how you study it, amen. I think you study a little bit here and a little bit there. It's my personal opinion, but other people study different ways, and you study any way you want to study. But I'm going to tell you this, you better get the Bible in you. Whether you read the Bible, whether you meditate in the Bible, whether you study the Bible, whatever you do, you better get some Bible. Notice what I didn't say there. I didn't say you need to get the commentary in you. I said you need to get the Bible in you. These commentaries are just wrote by men. Now, I'm not against them. I use them some, but I'll be honest with you, the more I use them, the more I don't like them, if you want to know the truth about it. When men tire up the King James Bible and tell me this, I'm just going to use what works. Amen. You say, boy, Catherine's so simple and uneducated and unreformed. Yeah, but you know what? Praise God, I'll tell you what, God's letting me preach and God's using me, and so I'm going to keep on doing it. I'd rather have God using me than you use me. Amen. Well, we'd get Catherine in our church if he was just more intellectually refined. Well, you know, I'm not, so it's okay. I'm just simply telling you that we ought to be wise in the scriptures. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading other books, but I want to be wise in the Bible. Dr. Sattler said, be a one-book man. That's what he said. Dr. Harold B. Sattler said, be a one-book man. Amen. Get in that Bible. Let that Bible, young lady, let the Bible be your main book. Not a devotional book, but the Bible. You see, everybody's coming out with all these books today. I mean, you can buy this book, buy that book on social media. And you know what a lot of it is? I know they're wanting to help people, and I believe that some people are sincere in their books, but some of it's money too. Some of it is money, too. I want you to know that. Listen, I'm not in things for money. I want you to understand that I'm not in things for money. I never have been, never will be. If we offer something on the radio, we're not going to be in it for money. We're going to be try to get it out to the people to help the people. But here's the deal. And devotional things, there's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you, be wise in the scriptures. Be wise. Know your Bible. Now, when I say know your Bible, I'm talking about the King James Bible. Amen. That's the only Bible that there is for the English-speaking people. And I don't have time to get into that today. But that's it. Be wise. David was wise in the scriptures. David knew. And I don't know, again, how David knew what the law said, because David, the Bible wasn't a ready book in those days, but David knew something about God. All right, now, I believe you ought to be wise in service, amen? Now, here's David. He is. He's wise in service, amen? He is wise in serving Jesse with those few sheep, and he's out there in the wilderness. He's wise. And you know what God did? When he is wise, God took him from the sheep cot, the sheepfold. God took him to the palace. Amen. He was wise. And then in stewards. Amen. What God has given you, man. Well, now, here's David. David's got a promotion now. And Saul has sent him out whithersoever he will. And David behaved himself wise. You know what he did? He's a good steward over that Saul gave him. Now, are you and I good stewards over what God has given us? You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, a steward's a manager. In other words, if I had a large estate and I had you to come in and manage my estate for me, would you be a good steward over my money? Amen. Let me just give it to you in T's. Are you a good steward over your time? You know, I'm bad for that. I'm going to quit letting people waste my time. If you're a pastor, I'll just be honest with you, you shouldn't let a church member tie you up for an hour at a time talking about hunting and fishing. That's a waste of time. I just want you to know, you're going to give an account to God for wasting time. Amen? I mean, listen, if somebody needs help, talk to them and help them and counsel them. But don't let people waste your time. Amen? People come in to the office sometimes. I've been guilty of letting people waste my time, and I'm trying to get out of that. Time, be a steward over your time. Be a steward over your testimony. My mom always taught me, son, have a good name. Now, I don't know if I've got one or not, but I want to have a good name. The Bible said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. I want to have a good name, don't you? I sure do. What about your treasure? Are you a good steward over your treasure, your money? Well, I'm going to invest my money in eternal things. Now, I go down here and invest in all kinds of other things, but what's it going to profit me when I die? I'm not saying it's wrong to invest in other things, but I'm simply telling you that the best investment you'll ever make is the work of the Lord. You see, I've had people send small gifts. I've had some recently send large gifts. And I believe some of those people realize they're investing in heavenly rewards. You people that gave toward our building. Do you realize how many broadcasts goes out across America on that building, from that building, the app and all that that we've got? And I mean preachers preaching around the world 24 hours a day, people this. Do you realize how many rewards that you get? I believe that, amen. You get a reward for that, amen. You ought to be wise. David was wise, amen, in stewardship, amen. Well, I believe you ought to be wise against Satan. Now, I believe David was wise. I believe David knew there was an enemy that would defeat him. And brother, let me tell you this, you ought to be wise against Satan. Then he said, harmless as doves. Well, if you know anything about a dove will fly away from it, ain't going to hurt you. And boy, I tell you what, we ought to be harmless in our words, hadn't we? I believe David was harmless in his words. I believe David, you know, David back there in chapter 17 could have argued with old Eliab. Oh, he could have argued with old ill-tempered brother. But you know, it wasn't worth it. I had somebody told me this when we first started the ministry. And as a fellow, I thought that you had to straighten everything out. And you know, I've learned so much and still don't know anything. But I had somebody tell me, and to be honest with you, it came from one of my first secretaries that worked for me. And this lady gave me some advice. And by the way, I've got nothing wrong with taking advice from a lady. Amen. Some of you men, you can't stand that. Amen. Now, you can't stand that. But I'm going to tell you, you know what this lady told me? She said, Ricky, she said, you need to pick your battles. And you want to know something? That stuck with me for years and years and years and years. You don't have to fight everything. You know that? Listen, you need to be wise in your words. You know, you don't have to fight everything. I used to think I had to answer everybody for everything. You don't have to do that. You say, what about this preacher saying this about you? I don't have to answer him. If he writes up an article on social media, I don't have to follow him up. That's his folly, amen. I just go on about my business, amen. There's people talk about me every day. I don't answer criticism. Let them do what they want to do, amen. Then we ought to be wise in our deeds. I believe David was wise in his deeds. I really do. Now, the Bible said he went whithersoever Saul sent him. And then I believe we ought to be wise in our thoughts. Now, David, you know, all your thoughts, bad thoughts start in the heart. The Bible said it does. Out of the heart proceeded murders and adulteries and all that. But you know what David could have done? He could have got a conspiracy up and tried to get Saul off the throne. David could have been unwise in his thoughts. But you know he wasn't unwise in his thoughts. He went about it the way God said to do it, and God delivered him. Now, won't you look again at verse number 5? And Saul set him over the men of war. Well, Saul gave him a promotion. Now, I think here personally Saul was a little emotional, but again, I think God was in this. Now, this promotion was from the Lord to get David to be the king. Saul, well, probably wasn't emotional. He probably just did it. God was in the arrangements of it. Saul didn't, he lived in the flesh. He didn't really know God. But God was promoting David, set him over the men of war. Well, this would give him good practice for being king. Psalm 75:6 says, for promotion cometh neither, what's this, from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Now, when you read that verse, Psalm 75:6, notice what direction it left out. Notice it again. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Didn't say anything about the north, did he? The north's where God comes from. Promotion comes from the north. It comes from God. Verse 7. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. And that's exactly what he did with Saul. Saul disobeyed him. Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. God put him down. And now God was going to put David up from the tribe of Judah, which in the book of Genesis, it was prophesied that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. And so you see, David was being in the right place. David just went with the providence of God. And it all worked out. Young preacher, you're out of college. And you don't know what you ought to be doing. Let me tell you, let the providence of God take over in your life. Let God lead you. Let God guide you. Stay away from the preacher politics. Stay away from handing out the cards. Stay away from getting your name out there. Get on your knees. Get on your knees and ask God. You say, preacher, does that really work? It does. You get on your knees, God will put you where he wants you. One fellow told me this one time. I told you this on another message, I believe. But I had a fellow, I pastored him, and years later I was his pastor. But in early years, me and him, when I was a young boy, me and him would do the jail ministry together. I was about 18, 20 old, we'd go into jails. And his name was Joe. And Joe said something to me one day, I'll never forget it, over there around Ronda, North Carolina. We was coming home, I believe we was up there near the cemetery there in Ronda, riding up through there. And Joe said, Preacher Rick, that's what he called me. He said, when God wants you, he's got your phone number and name and address. And boy, that's a hard pill to swallow, young preacher. I was wanting to do this and do that. And Joe said, he got your phone number and address. Let me tell you something. God knows where you are. When you pray and wait on the Lord, God knows where you are, young person. You don't have to do something today. And don't let anybody tell you you do. Amen? No, sir, you do not have to. All right, now, let's go back to verse number 5. And he was accepted in the sight of let me get my page around. He was accepted in the sight of all the people. Now, you know what? This was yet another step in God bringing him to be king. David was accepted in the sight of all the people. There would be people that were there then that would remember David later when he was king. By the way, the people you meet today at a young age might influence your life 20 years from now. Did you know that? I have met people in passing in my young age and didn't know them and then got acquainted with them later in life, and they became some of my best friends. So you see, you meet nobody in the Christian life by accident. There's no such thing as luck. It's all providence of God. When you meet somebody today, you may meet that person again 20 years from now, and they'll help you, you see. So now here's David. He's accepted in the sight of all these people. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Well, I believe if you live right and you walk right, God directs your steps. I can look back over my life and I can see where God has directed my steps. I can see that. I can see where Psalm 27:15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. How many times have I almost gotten the net? How many times have I almost got tangled up in something that would wreck my ministry, would ruin my ministry? And yet God protected me, and yet God has watched out for me. Every step I've ever made in life, God's watched over me. Why is that? Because he is God. And if you'll walk right, then I want you to notice one other verse in Psalm 119:133. Order thou my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He said, I want you to order my steps in the Word of God. Boy, we as Christian people, do we want our steps to be ordered in the Bible? We don't want to get the Bible out and say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do it this way. No, sir. Do you want your steps ordered in the Bible? There are some things God laid down in the Bible. It's kind of hard. You know that? But people all the time, somebody say to me, boy, you preach kind of hard. Oh, Brother Catherine's hard. I'm not hard. I just preach in the Bible. I'm preaching what a lot of people used to believe for the compromise. Do you, man? We had men 50 years ago preach the way I'm preaching right now, but they've compromised for a dollar, a paycheck, a picnic, a parsonage, a play day, and all this mess. And you can do what you want to do. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not above you. I'm nothing. Some of you men are older than me, and you should be holding the standard up for me. Amen. That's right. But I'm preaching today because I'm preaching what I've been taught from the Bible. And I believe it's right. Amen. I don't believe it's room to change your mind. And I believe this. I believe David behaved himself wisely, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people. His steps are ordered in the Bible. And that's wonderful. Amen. Now, number 5, let me show you the last part of the verse that we divided into 5 parts. And also in the sight of Saul's servants. Not only was he accepting all the people, but he was accepted in Saul's servants, in the sight of Saul's servants. Now, if he is going to be a leader, if he's going to be king, he must be accepted in with these men, because these men would later, some of them would be older, and some of them would be men that he would probably rely on to help him in the next phase of his life. You see, so what you do now is you live life one day at a time. You say, well, preacher, where am I going to be 10 years from now? Don't worry about it. Do the will of God today. I can tell you exactly how to be in the will of God 10 years from right now. I can tell you how to do it. Just do the will of God today. One fellow said he went and picked up a well-known preacher at an airport, and he said, I asked him on the way, he said, have you got any advice for a young preacher that's just starting out? He said, I thought he'd tell me some great thing. He said, yeah. He said, you in Bible college? He said, just make good grades and read your Bible. He said, man, I thought, what kind of advice is that? But let me tell you, just live it one day at a time. Brother, one step at a time, you live for God. Live your life. Just walk with God. You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. You may live an early life. You may live a short life. You may live a long life. But listen, behave yourself wisely in life. And remember again, God gives a man one arrow. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, December 13th, and Sunday, December the 14th. It's been such a joy to be with you today. I hope you'll tell a friend and neighbor about our radio broadcast. We're on the same station at the same time. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn saying God bless you. I hope you have a great day in the Lord. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you again on next week. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.